Module 5, how to stay inspired and motivated. Here's what you'll learn in this video. My 11 favorite sources of inspiration. 3 things you should never do if you want to stay inspired and motivated. We'll go have a quick look at the module 5 recipes. And finally, we'll have a look at your homework for this module. So 11 sources of inspiration. This week we're talking inspiration and motivation, some of my favorite topics. I personally believe that you can find inspiration anywhere, and for me that's especially true when it comes to cooking. So I'm sharing my own sources of inspiration and motivation with you here. So source number one for me is cookbooks. What can I say? My favorite books tend to be cookbooks. I've been rediscovering my local library this year, which is a great and inexpensive way to explore new authors. Here are a few of my all-time favorites. So Tender, Volume 1 by Nigel Slater, the English food writer. River Cottage Veg Every Day, which is by Hugh Fanley Whittingstall, who's another English chef and all-time amazing guy. If you haven't seen his River Cottage TV series, highly recommend you track that down on wherever you source your TV shows from. But yeah, he's really, really great, really passionate about local produce, and has recently turned from being quite a carnivore into eating a lot more veg. So it's really some great recipes and lessons in his latest book. Another favorite from a few years ago, it's called A Year in My Kitchen by Skye Gingell. And Skye's an Australian chef who was working in a restaurant in London. I'm not sure where she is these days, but really love it. It's a really beautiful, beautiful book. Then we've got Morrow by Sam and Sam Clark. So it's Samuel and Samantha Clark. They're married. So it's another London chef book, but this time focusing on mostly Moroccan and Spanish cuisine. Simply love all their books, but this is the first one and it has the most classic dishes, so it's probably my favourite. And then we've got the Bourke Street Bakery Cookbook by Paul Allam and David McGuinness. So this is my go-to book for all things bread, pastry, and sweet treats. And they have a wonderful few, they actually have quite a few different outlets, bakeries in Sydney these days, and they do some of the most awesome things. So if you're ever in Sydney, I recommend checking them out. And then finally, another favorite is Dank Street Depot by Jared Ingersoll, which is a wonderful, Dank Street Depot is actually a wonderful Sydney cafe. And this book is just wonderful. And I've cooked my way pretty much through the whole thing. So that's well worth having a look at. So continuing on with our 11 sources of inspiration. So number 2 is eating out. So I often get inspired to cook new things from dishes I eat at restaurants. And it's a great excuse to try new places in the name of research. So it's probably a little bit more of an advanced technique, but really a good fun one to do. Then option number 3 is travel. So, okay, I know we can't all just pack up and head off to Morocco for a month, but when you are planning a trip, it can be an added bonus if you visit somewhere with an interesting food culture. Some of my most enlightening food moments have been away from home, and I'm really excited. I'm just about to go on a trip to Europe, and we're going to Paris and Rome and eating at the best restaurant in the world in Copenhagen, and of course going to Ireland to visit my Irishman's family. So super excited about that, and you know, I'm really open to seeing what sort of inspiration I get from that trip. Then moving on, number 4, we've got food blogs. So here are a few of my current favorites. So 101 cookbooks, an oldie but a goodie. So Heidi Swanson writes a lot of healthy veg. She's vegetarian. She writes wonderful healthy vegetarian recipes and the occasional sweet treat. What Katie Ate is Katie's she's actually Irish, but she lives in Sydney, and her recipes tend to be a little bit more complicated, but her photography is amazing, and it's just really worthwhile having a look to get excited about what she's been cooking. Then Orangette, Molly Wisenberg from Seattle, and I love her food writing. It's just really amazing. So her recipes tend to be quite simple and really lovely kind of fresh ingredients. So well worth checking out. And lastly, the Sprouted Kitchen. I think she's from LA, and just love her recipes and photography. So moving on to source number 5, so food websites. So while Googling can be useful, I find I get much more inspired by searching on specific websites for whatever I'm looking for. So first place I usually go to is Australian Gourmet Traveller, which is still, after all these years, my all-time favorite food magazine. Those guys just do a really, really great job of pulling together really yummy things. Nigel Slater, who I mentioned before, he's a great food writer. He writes a column for The Guardian newspaper, and that's available online, so read that online. Jamie Oliver's website's always worthwhile checking out for simple recipes. And Donna Hay, who's an Australian, she has a magazine, heaps of cookbooks, and her website's pretty great as well. Although sometimes it is just so pretty and perfect that it's kind of annoying. but she tends to go for simplicity, so she does have some good things on there as well. And then continuing on, number six, Google, of course. What do we do before Google? I tend to search Stone Soup and the other food websites I just mentioned first, but then I'll do a general Google search if I can't find what I'm after. Then source number seven is playing the what's in the fridge game. So although we covered this last week in the Art of Adaptation, I still believe that my best creations come when I'm just making something up from whatever I've got on hand. And it's really a fun thing to keep you inspired. Source number eight is the supermarket or farmer's market. So if you struggle to get inspired, why not make a little promise to yourself to buy and use one new ingredient this week? It'll really surprise you what a difference that can make to getting excited about cooking. Number nine of Stone Soup, of course, had to plug my own blog. So one of the reasons I started blogging was to document my favorite recipes and creations. 7 years later, Stone Soup contains a massive collection of recipes. I just use the search function in the sidebar to find what I'm looking for. I should point out that there's also a search box on the Solve Your Dinner Dilemma website. The design isn't super great, and it's actually hidden in the navigation menu at the very bottom of every page. So if you do want to do a search here, that's where to find it. Then source number 10, try a radical dietary change. So going vegetarian for a month or have an experiment to see what it's like for people who are celiac or intolerant to dairy. Even a week can be enough to give a different perspective and break you out of your food rut. And this is something like we do every now and again, just to try different things. And, you know, it's not necessarily something that you're going to stick with. You know, a couple of years ago, my Irishman and I went vegetarian for a month, and that was enough for us to realize that, you know, didn't want to be vegetarians long term, but we really kind of understood a bit more about what it was like to eat out as a vegetarian. And it was just really, really inspiring. Source number 11 is to explore foods you think you don't like. So as we age, and experience different things, our taste buds change. So you may surprise yourself when you try something you hated in childhood, but with your adult taste, when you taste something you hated in childhood with your adult taste buds. Trying something prepared in a different way can make a massive difference as well. When I was little, I hated my mom's boiled Brussels sprouts with a passion. It was like the grossest thing ever. But the first time I tried pan-fried Brussels sprouts, I was just like, wow, these are amazing. Give me more. So, you know, it's kind of something you wouldn't really expect, but it can lead to heaps of inspiration and fun. So now we'll move on to the three things you should never do if you want your cooking to stay inspired and motivated. So we all go through phases in life when we aren't very inspired, where everything seems like it's too much effort, when we're stuck in a rut. Although it's rare, even I, someone who adores cooking, gets a little bit over it from time to time. The good news is there are precautions you can take to keep these uninspired moments as infrequent as possible. So thing number one that you should never do is don't follow the recipe every single time. So as you've hopefully come to appreciate from the variations on Stone Soup and in Solve Your Dinner Dilemma, there are always countless ways to vary every recipe. Even small changes like substituting mint for parsley can keep a favorite dish from becoming bored and tired. So that's probably a really great one to get into your repertoire. Then the second thing that you should never do is don't be complacent. So if you find yourself stuck in a rut or completely uninspired, remember it's all about your attitude. You're the only one who can change your situation for the better, and this is actually a good thing. So you can make a difference if you want to. It's all about looking at things from a different perspective. And then the third thing that you should never do is don't play it safe. So Renee Redzepi, who's the chef at Noma, which is currently the best restaurant, rated the best restaurant in the world in Copenhagen, spoke in Melbourne earlier in the year, and I was lucky enough to attend. One of the things I found most surprising was his attitude to failure. He's constantly reminding his chefs that if they aren't failing and creating disasters from time to time, then they aren't trying hard enough. And that it's only when we embrace the possibility of failure that we allow ourselves the freedom and space to cook really delicious food. So surely if it's good enough for the best chef in the world, it's good enough for your kitchen too. So yeah, I really encourage you not to play it safe and expect to have some disasters every now and again, but it won't be that often. So now we'll have a quick look through just quickly take you through the module 5 recipes. So we've got a warm butter bean salad, pear and parmesan salad. Also, first up, we've got the 6 5-minute recipe. So I wanted to give you some really super quick things that for when you just really don't have any time at all. These are the 5-minute special kind of things. So pear and parmesan salad, pesto couscous, really yummy, tabbouleh fried egg, I think, and a green goddess salad. And then, and one more Thai beef salad. And then there's 5 do-ahead dinners. So apricot chicken, bit of a classic, but this is actually a twist on my mom's classic recipe. Spanish beef stew, chili con carne, which there's a veggie version as well if you need that. Pardon me, ossobuco, the classic Italian beef dish, and ratatouille, which from the movie of the same name. So now we'll move on to your homework and your turn to take action. So this week I thought I'd do, this week I'd like to hear about what inspires you in the kitchen. So share your favorite source of inspiration in the comments on the homework page. And I'd really love to hear, what gets you excited, which websites do you love, which cookbooks do you love, anything that really gets you inspired and things that you love, because I'm always looking for new inspiration as well. So that it's a chance for us all to kind of share and learn from each other. So there's a link to the homework page on the homework tab in the notes. And what's coming up next? So I just wanted to let you guys know that we had the webinar, and I've made a recording of that, so it's now available to listen to. If you just go into the bonuses tab in the navigation menu up the top and just scroll down, there's a webinar that'll take you to the webinar page, and the recording's there. You can either listen to it online, or if you want to download it, you can listen to it on your iPod or whatever you use for listening to MP3s. And what else is coming up next? Graduation bonuses. So yay! Congratulations on making it this far on Solve Your Dinner Dilemma.